Any questions from anyone? Yes, the lady in the back. Just Vedic tradition says in the Bhagavatam, Trayena Shruti Gochara. It's just holdover from that time. Sri Shudra Drija Bandhunam Trayena Shruti Gochara. They're not to be given Shruti mantra. So, here, Brahma Gayatri is taken to be a Shruti mantra. So it's just in line with the tradition. But what I would say is that better than that is Srila Guru Maharaj's explanation. And that's open to everyone. And if you heard what I was saying at the time, those of us who had received this mantra, sometimes were inquiring, what is the meaning? And no one had the capacity to express that. But Srila Guru Maharaj, he expressed this. And we've published it. It's in the end of the Guardian of Devotion. It's the last chapter in the subjective evolution of consciousness. The whole mantra is there. You can read the whole thing. But so I don't think it's much of an issue. You know, the plane that the mantra, Guru Maharaj is saying, the target is Radha Dasyam. And we're told in Brahma Sangita, it says, in the eight ear holes of Brahma. Why? Because he has four heads, therefore eight ears. Right? And Saraswati, Dibya Saraswati, she's giving the mantra. Right? Is she not a female? So if you want, I mean, that's not Brahma Gayatri, but it's Kama Gayatri. So Dibya Saraswati, a female, she's giving the Kama Gayatri mantra. Brahma, when he hears the sound of Krishna's flute, his 8 years old, he's saying the Om Bhur Bhuva. Svatat Savitar, known as Brahma Gayatri. So, as Srila Guru Maharaj once said, who is a female here may not be a female there. And who is a male here may not be a male there. On the veranda in Dum Dum Park once, Srila Gurudev, there are different pictures, you know, on the wall. Acharyas, some picture, Mahaprabhu and his associates, different pictures. who are Mahaprabhu and his all his associates. Not all of them, his principal associates are gopis in Vrindavan, and they've descended in Gauralila. They take on male forms. That has some purpose also, so that the imposition of an enjoyer will not be placed upon Krishna descending as Mahaprabhu, the mistake of the Gauranagaris, take him to be Krishna as an enjoyer. But anyway, looking on that wall, you saw the picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's that very picture in front of us. See, Bhaktivinoda Thakur with the beard and the japa, and Gurudev musing at that time, and he said, and to think, you know, in the spiritual world, he's a 14-year-old girl. So, the Braja Gopis, the wives of the Brahmins, they had not undergone, lived in the Gurukula, undergone the Shruti mantra, the sacred thread, and all of that. But we're told, they are expressed by Uddhava, Asam aho charanarenu jusham ahangsyam Vrindavane kimapi gomalatosa dinam yad duschajam swajanam arjapatam chihitva bejur mukunda parivim shrutibir vimrigyam. What the Shrutis are searching for, we say Trayena Shruti Gotra, cannot hear Shruti. Those Shrutis, what they're searching for, they've got. The half-civilized, stupid jungle girls of Vrindavan, the Braja Gopis, what the Shrutis are searching for, Nikila Shruti Moli Ratnamala. In Rupa Goswami Sloka, Gurumar says that the Shrutis, that means the personified Vedic sounds, right? They're declaring Ratnamala, the crown jewel of all sounds, is the holy name of Krishna. And Srila Guru Maharaj says there that they must say this. To not say this, to not indicate this, would be to commit suicide on their part. So they're saying, of all sounds, of all that is to be heard, the holy name of Krishna is the central sound. So, ekasya srutameva lampati matim krishneti namaksharam sandrunmara paramparam upanayat Anyasha, Bhangshi Kala. And one sloka of Rupa Goswami, Srimati Radharani saying, I heard the name of Krishna, and that captured my heart. Then I heard the sound of this flute, and then I was captured by that. And then the sight of this form of this beauty, I was captured by that, so now I'm torn in three. It would have been better to be dead than to be in this position. Of course, it's the name of Krishna, the flute of Krishna, the form of Krishna, but she's treating them as if they're three individual different people. So, Radha Dasyam, Guru Maharaj is revealing in his explanation that this is the purport of the Brahma Gayatri, is the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And what is it telling here? In different places? the Braja Gopis, they've got that. So, in the modern world, when to try and tie identity to gender, that is not Krishna Das, Radha Dasi, Jivai, Swarupai, Krishna, Nitya Das. Spiritual identity is not tied to gender. But from this position, one can, whatever one's position is, Stane Stita Shrutikatam Tanuvan Manobir, Jnane Prayasa Murupasana Manteva Jivanti San Mukharita Bhavadiya Vartam. Stane Stita means whatever your position is, begin hearing about Krishna from substantial devotees, from authoritative sources. Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhavam Sarovruham Dunoti Shamalam Krishna Shalilasya Yata Sharat. Krishna conception through the ear enters the heart, and the flag of Krishna conception is planted there. And the experts have said, once this has happened, then it is a matter of time before Krishna conception establishes its supremacy and totality, exclusiveness over the whole heart. Gopi bhav, gopi deho. Sometimes the gopis are joking with Krishna and saying that he stole the wife of Narayan, Lakshmi Devi. Right? Because we hear, she is as a golden lion on his chest. Right? Sri Leka. These marks on the chest of Krishna are indicative of the presence of the goddess of fortune. And they're saying, shamelessly, he's taken Vishnu's consort as his own. And we hear, though, I mean, that's their divine way of seeing things and expressing things. But when the wives of Kaliya, after their husband was converted by the magic wand of the lotus feet of Krishna into a Vaishnava, and they began realizing his good fortune and expressing that in their prayers. One of their prayers is, Tadeva Vidmahe Tavangri Renu Sparasha Dikarya Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kamam Ruchiram Dhritavrita Tasyaiva. No. Tadeva Vidmahe, something. Bhava Tadeva Vidmahe. They say, Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo. Sri was the desire of Sri Lakshmi Devi to enter into the Rasa Lila, to get the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And to that end, to achieve that that extraordinary and rare achievement, to try that and achieve that, she, Lalana Charat Tapo, she went to the Tapovan, to the forest, and executed austerities and penances for many lifetimes to try and get that position. And they're thinking, and their prayers are saying, So if, and, but she could not yet. But our husband, and they're seeing, this is after Krishna had danced all over the heads of Kali, and his heads are very dizzy and nauseous, and but also decorated with the padaduli of Krishna. So they're looking at him, and he's and they're saying, but he, what the goddess of fortune could not achieve, he did. He got that. How extraordinary is that? And Mahaprabhu, in his meeting with Venkatabhatta, he, we're told in the during the Chaturmasya time, the 4 months where traditionally sannyasis would not travel due to the rainy season, and unfit conditions, he stayed at the house of Venkatabhatta. The uncle Gopal Bhatta Goswami, brother Prabodhananda Saraswati, but Sri Vaishnavas, worshippers of Vishnu. And one day, after so many days of having wonderful Harikatha, Krishna Katha, Mahaprabhu said to Venkatabhatta, why is it that your Lakshmi Devi wants to have rasa with my Krishna? A little teasing. And Venkatabhatta, there's a famous slogan, what is it? Siddhanta Abed AP, Shirsayo. And it says, he said, Siddhantically speaking, Krishna and Narayana, they're the same. So why should there be any doubt or suspicion there? But Krishna is known as Rasaraj. Vishnu has his reputation, and Krishna is known in a particular way. He is known as Rasaraj. So if she wants rasa, then why not go to Krishna? Krishna and Vishnu identical. That was his response. And Mahaprabhu said, that's a good answer. It's in line with the scriptural understanding. Very good answer. But what I don't understand, though, then, is why she wasn't given entrance into the Rasa Leela. What you say makes sense, but then how come she's not given admittance? And furthermore, we told before, these Shrutis, personified Shrutis, the personified Vedas, they were given entrance. The Dandakaranya Rishis were given entrance. But not Lakshmi Devi. At this point, Venkatabhatta, his mind was blown, blew a fuse. It was beyond what he could conceive. He said, this is going beyond logic, reason, rationale, human discussion. It's entering another domain. And Mahaprabhu told him that the goddess of fortune doesn't have the adhikar to participate in those pastimes. That's Srup Damodar tells in the Harapanchami pastimes. Lakshmi Devi doesn't have the adhikar. It means, you know, eligibility, capacity, qualification. So we can say, the goddess of fortune, the goddess of wealth, can't buy a ticket for the rasa dance with all of that wealth. Why? And he said, because as Lakshmi Devi, she wanted to enter. That's incompatible. He said, whereas the Dandakaranya Rishis, the Veda Stuti, personified Vedas, they took on Gopi Bhav and Gopi Deho. the heart and form of gopis, their devotional mood, their heart, and gopi bhav and gopi deho, the form of gopis, and then they participated there. Whereas the goddess of fortune, as in her Aishwarya Roop, could not enter. But then he says, but don't think ill of Lakshmi Devi. Right? He said, as gopis, she's there. We hear in Brahma Sangita, what does it say about the gopis? Lakshmi sahasrashatasham Brahma sevyamanam. Hundreds and thousands and millions of gopis. So, and Gurudev once, in just a very simple way, drew this comparison between Narayana Vaikuntha and Krishna of Goloka, saying, Narayana Vaikuntha, one Lakshmi for one Vishnu, one Lakshmi for one Narayan, but Lakshmi sahasrasatasam Brahma, sevyamano. But hundreds of thousands and millions and billions of Lakshmis for one Krishna. So, so from a mundane point of view, you can say, they're not qualified to do certain Vedic ritualistic performances. Not only because we say they're women, but they're vaishyas, cowherds. So they're not Brahmins, Kshatriya, but Vaishya, right in the middle. Sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj will say, Krishna conception is in the middle. It's in the central conception of the infinite. Krishnera jateka kela saratam naralila naravapu tahara swarup gopavesh venukar navakishor natabar naralila hoy anurup. Right in the center, the human-like pastimes of Krishna are perfect for expressing the full spectral range of loving possibility and reciprocation. But we see sometimes in Goswami literature, when the Brajagopis are pressed to respond in some particular situation, that they have extensive knowledge of the scriptures, Puran, everything, and of Sanskrit language and all of its intricacies. So they're really, we'll say that they're suppressing this sort of knowledge, this aspect of themselves. It only comes out under service necessity. And as we see in Gaura Lila, it's Brajagopis who take on the position of the Goswamis. And they're writing so many books. Jiva Goswami, the ultimate Sanskrit scholar, Rup Sanatan Raghunath Das. They're writing these incredible books. So many pastimes in perfect Sanskrit. As we said earlier that the mistake of the Gauranagari vad, type of sahajiya that wants to impose the position of an enjoyer upon Mahaprabhu, because Krishna is the Adi Purusha, the supreme enjoyer. So I think when Mahaprabhu appears, they're implying they have some erotic relationships, which is erroneous. Guru Maharaj says there may, some of the ladies in Navadvip, they may have expressed erotic sentiments toward Nimai Pandit, but they were never reciprocated. That said, they used some of the works of Narahari, Narahari Sakar, Thakur, to try and justify this position, and it's dismissed wholesale by the substantial Vaishnavas. But he is not dismissed. He's a unique devotee. And he, according to his conception, he's expressing certain things towards Mahaprabhu. And one of his slokas Guru Maharaj liked very much, this Gopinam Kuchukum Kumena Nichitam Basya Kimasyaranam, where he says to Mahaprabhu, I don't recognize your sannyas. Everyone, what? He says, I don't recognize that you're a sannyasi. Why? Because am I supposed to believe that that famous womanizer, woman hunter, Gopavaduti Vidambrahma from Vrindavan, meaning Krishna, he's become a sannyasi? No, I can't accept this. And I said, no, but he's, see, look, he has the saffron cloth. And he said, oh, I'm not fooled by that. He said, I know his cloth becomes saffron from the kumkum, from the Brajagopis. That's due to extensive mixing. That's made his cloth saffron. So I don't recognize that he's a sannyasi. So here we'll see Mahaprabhu, sometimes he's making reference to his position in society, that he's a sannyasi and he should observe the rules of sannyasi and be very cautious, as when they're offering him very opulent Jagannath Prasad, Srup Damodar and the other devotees, and Mahaprabhu says, oh, give the rich prasadam to the devotees and I'll take some lafra, which means very simple, basic vegetables. And Srup Damodar will tell him, all right, so first he's establishing this as thinking of myself in terms of my social position, gender, he's a sannyasi, etc. He's moving in a particular way. Then Srup Damodar says, you just try and understand that how Jagannath was enjoying this prasadam. It's all Jagannath prasad. It's not that it's rich, it's this, it's that. That's from an external point of view. Really, it has been converted into some sort of inconceivable nectarine substance. Been relished by Jagannath. So you think of it in that way. And these other considerations, leave them behind. When Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees are visiting Kirchor Gopinath, and he tells the story to all the devotees, the pujari also brings some kheer for Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Six pots or so. And it's mentioned there that in one sense, Mahaprabhu's already tasted this as Krishna, right? As Gopinath. Right? But here, as Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Sivalita, enriched with the heart and halo of Radharani, he will now relish prasadam. When he was Gopinath, they offer him the bhog. Right? And as Gopinath, he is enjoying that. But here, it's pointed out by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Mahaprabhu, he's relishing being in this position as a devotee. It will have a different taste. Right? And he'll taste it in a different way than when Krishna took the bhog. Now it's prasad. Krishna adharamritam, mixed with the nectar of Krishna. Now, from the devotee's point of view, that will be tasted and it'll be more relishable. So, we don't want to pass judgment from some external way of seeing. Sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj would say, we're not interested in degree of dress, but degree of devotion. Right? On whether one is in white or saffron, whether one is male, female. But there will be the pull of karmic circumstance will be there. And Guru Maharaj gave an interesting observation in that regard. Because there's something that's called parabdha karma, and without going into that, that means more or less what you're stuck with in this lifetime. Not future, past, that this is like what you have to deal with in this lifetime. And there are some who are of the opinion that, you know, some school, you have to get rid of that. Then you will hear the people say, and your next life, you'll be born in India. I know many people are going, oh God, no. I used to have a fantasy when I was collecting in Calcutta that my next birth, I would be a Talawala on Mahatma Gandhi Road. They're the ones, they have these two-wheel cart, like looks like a ladder on two wheels, and they put like 12 Elmiras on it, and these two guys like carry it up the road and then carry it back down the road. And I thought, oh, that's what it's going to be a Talawala on Mahatma Gandhi Road. They're not saying you have to be a Talawala on Mahatma Gandhi Road. But they're thinking, when you finish with your Parabdha Karma, then you'll get some real nice birth in India. Anyway, that's another conception. But why did I say that? Because, Guru Maharaj. And again, this is on the basis of Vedic culture. So, in Vedic culture, the husband has some rights over the wife. Right? She has some obligation, some responsibility to the husband. And here, Guru Maharaj said, this is like the jiva, she, jiva. The karmic circumstances are like the rights of the husband. We've done certain things that have put us in our present position. And the force of karmic circumstance wants to assert itself over us. And it has a right to do that because we've done these things and now they're coming, the karmic reaction. We're surrounded by karmic reaction. But Guru Maharaj said, here, and this is unique to him, he said, for the devotee, he introduced the concept of parakiya bhav. We know that's the very high aspect of Madhura Rasa and Braja Gopis. But he is applying it in the life, saying, just as the paramour, Parakiya, paramour, they make the husband think that they're completely dutiful and absorbed in their duties, while really within their hearts, they're with the paramour. He said, so the devotee gives karmic circumstance its due, so that it appears the devotee is acting responsibly in terms of karmic circumstance, but really within the heart is given over to Krishna. That's what really matters, what is in the heart. So we're not here to try and adjust the endlessly mutable karmic circumstance. But whatever it may be, allow it to take its, what is it taking? It's due. I don't know what other word to say at this moment. While the heart is given over to Krishna. Any other question? Yes.
Can you explain the meaning of Lokahita?
Of what?
Lokahita. I listened to the one lecture.
Lokasiddha?
Lokahita.
Oh, Lokahita? Is it something I said? Like 2 days ago?
No.
Oh. I can't hear what you're saying. Siddhaloka? I mean, I don't know what's being said. Someone tell me. Of what I said?
No, Gurudev.
Oh. Well, I'd have to hear that, what he said, but Lokahita means what's ultimately beneficial for the people. It's a famous sloka in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what it means. What's ultimately beneficial for what's good for the people. Loka means people. So Sukadeva Goswami saying the Parikrit Maharaj, I can't remember the exact sloka, but it's in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about what is ultimately beneficial. Where he's saying, my dear Varyan Eshate Prajna Sandana Loka Nita, something like that. There's what is what it's called Shreya and Preya. Preyas means what is immediately beneficial, short-term gain, and Shreyas means what is ultimately beneficial, long-term gain. Yeah. Mangal.
Yes, Chaitanya Mangala. We not supposed to read this book or
Sri Srila Saraswati Thakur said that there are aspects of it where, as we told, the Gauranga Nagaris, they may have modified and inserted Gauranga Nagari Vad. Yes, so the book that Saraswati Thakur says is perfect in all respects is Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. Even so much so, he said, if Chaitanya Bhagwat, and sometimes it does, gives a description, these are the men who accompanied Mahaprabhu after he took sannyas. Chaitanya Charitamritam lists another group, saying, we will accept what is said. If we're pressed, we'll accept what is said in Chaitanya Charitamritam as the ultimate authority. So really, that is where our focus is. But Chaitanya Charitamritam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, if we're unacquainted with spiritual substance, particularly on nuances of Siddhanta, then we may be polluted by reading anything and everything that has the name of Mahaprabhu or Nityananda Prabhu upon it. So what is our necessity? Okay. Really, our necessity can be addressed by focusing upon the subject matter of Chaitanya Charitamritam. And what we see there, sometimes it sends us to the pages of the Bhagavatam or some other book. But have to be cautious. Same situation with the Bhakti Ratnakar. So now is popular devotee, because of the internet, I think you can read anything and everything. You don't know what is that book originally, what's the qualification of the person translating that. So many things. And then we'll read something and think that it is authoritative. Why? We should be more careful. Or go to India, we'll visit some place, and the devotees will come back. The pujari at the so-and-so place told this story. He was pujari since last week or last month. Who is his guru? What is his connection? What is it? He's the pujari of the so-and-so place, and he told this story. Many stories are told that are what we call apocryphal. They're of doubtful authenticity. So without becoming acquainted with Gaudiya Siddhanta, as is given in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam and under the guidance of our Guru Bharga, we won't be in a position to make a judgment on what's proper, improper, authentic, inauthentic. So you can see we're at a distinct disadvantage. So we're even more reliant upon our Guru Varga. What have they selected for us? Are they telling us, oh, you should run here, you should run there? We see where their main focus is and what they've extracted from here. Even the Bhagavatam, Gurudev and Guru Maharaj, they're not telling everyone they should try and make some exhaustive study on their own of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They've selected from there what is essential for us. I was in, in the Ukraine, a place called Donetsk. Is that the name? Okay. And one lady got initiated and she said, what should I do for my morning sadhana? I said, well, what are you doing now? She said, oh, I chant, my daughter and I, we chant the Narayan Kavacha. I said, why do you do that? She said, well, we read in the book, it says it's so auspicious and it should be done and everyone should. But interestingly, even in Prabhupada's lifetime, one of his disciples, leading disciples, reported to him that he was doing that. And Prabhupada said, why are you doing this? He said, well, you wrote in your book, one should do this and how important it is and you'll get this. And so he read in the purport something that him, it seemed like Prabhupada was giving a resounding, wholesale, full recommendation to do this. But when he talked to him personally, he told you, I never told you to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. But he said, well, in the book, that's another thing. There are so many things. We'll say, one who hears this, one who does that, one should is advised to do this. But that's why we have guru, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav. We have the scriptures and then the living scriptures. So we need to focus on what's been selected by the Guru Varga as being substantial. Become acquainted with that. And not avoiding that. What is the Bengali saying? Gora dengya gash kawe. The horse, what's in front of the horse today is called the trough. So there's the trough full of food and it says the horse jumps over the trough and runs in search of food. Bengalis are knowing many things. So they're serving nectar to us on a golden plate. And we're going, is there going to be dessert? What's he eating over there? That guy over in the dark, I can't see it. We're our own worst enemies. So it's better, these things are so important, it's better to err on the side of caution. Like when Balabhabhata told Mahaprabhu that his commentary was superior to that of Sridhar Swami, who's considered to be the principal commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu's famous joke was, because Shami also means husband, he said, one who does not accept the Shami is a prostitute. Right. And then there's another verse there, he said, and I used to use this to praise Srila Guru Maharaj, and he and Gurudev liked it very much. It says, Sridhar Shami Prashade Bhagavata Jani, Jagad Guru Sridhar Shami Guru Kori Mani. He says, Sridhar Swami Prashade Bhagavata, by the mercy of Sridhar Swami Bhagavata Jani, I know the Bhagavatam. Jagad Guru Sridhar Swami Guru Kori Mani. That's why I accept him. He's Jagad Guru and accepted by everyone as the Jagad Guru. So in my approach to Guru Maharaj, I use that to say, if someone doesn't accept what he says, his judgment of things, it's one of the reasons Srila Saraswati Thakur gave him the sannyas name Sridhar, one reason. His commentary stands supreme among all others. So when that Balabhacharya persisted, and he said also, I can give so many explanations of different names of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, I only know two. Yashoda Nandan and Shama Sundar. In fact, I'm incapable of knowing more. What does that mean? He says, Nam Namakari Bahudhan Ijasarvashad. Krishna has unlimited names. Certainly not. He's saying, no, I only know two. He's talking about a particular quality And also, the implication is, if you're not focused on quality, then you're going to be searching for quantity. So Rupa Goswami advises, don't initiate many disciples, don't make many temples, and don't read many books. He's told, this will be, detrimental to the culture of pure devotion. Mahaprabhu is taking the Amarama Sloka, giving 61 explanations of one sloka. So we should not think that our Guru Varga, that they've given so much for us to focus on in our study, and that they forgot some really important thing they forgot to tell us. And we'll find that, right? Well, they go something, nana shastra vicharanai kanipano shaddharma sangstapako lokanam hita. There again, lokanam hita karino tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro. They studied all these scriptures and extracted from them for the benefit of everyone. So really our focus should be narrow in this sense. Like Gurmukh said, most exclusive, only that we're narrowing our focus to what is all comprehensive. Hare Krishna.